Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
A fairly low-key start to the season because we thought soft launch, big finish. That's the way forward.
Yeah.
So although Ian Lennox sadly has stepped aside from his duties on Fly Me to the Moon, well, let's face it, he was a Newcastle United supporter. So on that side of things, we're going pure Borough from that side of the Atlantic at least. And there will be sometime during the season, I pretty much can guarantee you, even for our welcome back to the Borough listeners through another medium, there will be a brand spanking new jingle, an ident, which is coming through. I have that on good authority, don't I, Rob Nichols?
Yes, I'll do it. I'm going to do it, definitely.
You are the magician, you are the musician. We also have Jenny Finch with us, of course, from Ireland. And we've got a kind of group huddle now, because I feel even though it's a couple of months since the Coventry scenario, clearly there are people who'll still be in shock from that and will be sort of saying, yes, will it ever happen again? I mean, just, I mean, we were almost set to say we'll have a Fly Me to the Moon Wembley special. You obviously raised the flag of caution, Rob, by saying, I haven't booked my hotel room in Wembley as yet. I haven't booked that as yet. And of course, a first for Coventry, the first time ever in their entire history they have actually won away to Middlesbrough. And of course, it has to be that game. I suppose we did it for Luton Town, though, didn't we?
Yes. I don't think it was a classic, the playoff final. So, but yeah, you're right. It was. It takes a bit of getting over for a few people. So, it's amazing that we actually played Coventry next as well after the Millwall game. We just can't avoid each other.
Well, it's kind of like a sandwich of joy because you've also got two games against Neil Warnock's boys. One, yes, in the EFL Cup Northern routine, and then, of course, yes, in the league. So it's not as though August is starting off necessarily in a calm manner for Michael Carrick's men.
No, that's right. But it's starting off with a lot of new players, a lot of young players of promise, and we'll have to see how they bed down playing in the Championship. And yeah, I think it was. I was always cautious, as you said, at the end of last season. I suppose, you know, I'm long in the tooth now. I've been there before. I've seen what can happen. I also thought Coventry played so well against us in two games and made it very, very difficult for us to play. And of course, we're still feeling the after effects of those games because Tuber Akpom has not been fit since playing Coventry in the playoff. So has cost us. And of course, the captain, Johnny Howson, hasn't really, I don't think he's really been fit since the final away game at Rotherham. So we're still bringing some after effects into this season. But for us, the fans, we need to sort of tune in straight away. This is a restart. This is Carrick's first time having had a pre-season. And what we need to do, Alex, is make sure that we break this habit of losing a manager in October each year. We need to be behind Carrick all the way. And I think that's our main weapon, isn't it? That we've got a much sought after dynamic young manager stroke coach, and now probably also seeing the fruits of the recruitment system that we've put in place with all these young players for the future.
Well, you raised a huge number of points there. I suppose the positive spin, of course, is that technically, if you actually write off the first three places in last season, i.e. Burnley and Sheffield United and, of course, Coventry, Luton Town, I should say.
Yeah,
they've actually gone. So Borough actually were top of the table from last season. So we technically go into this, you know, in pole position, take out the alphabetically routine, we were top of that table. Jenny Finch, that might well seem as though it's a bit of a straw that we're clinging on to, but Rob shared a number of things there. Lots of new players, of course. Mr. Giles, Ryan Giles has now gone to play for Luton, no less. And Tuba Akpom, I gather that there are clubs in the Midlands who are, quote, sniffing around. And of course, we've got that long. I don't think there's any truth in the rumour, though, that Jenny, as yet, you've decided to sign the multi-million dollar deal to go and ply your trade from Fly Me to the Moon with Saudi Arabian teams.
I have to say I was tempted, but no, I think I shall stick with the borough. I'll stay with what I love.
So from that perspective, I mean, obviously a sad end in some ways to last season, although it was a huge turnaround. What are your thoughts on this opening game, which, again, couldn't have been fitted nicely for yourself, knowing how much you appreciate Millwall from your own time in London as well?
Oh, yes, I love it. Millwall, what can I say? Let's hope we don't come away with too many injuries on our side. Maybe they're reformed. Oh, look, there's a flying pig outside my window. I think if they can ride out Millwall and get over the spooks in Coventry, I think they're going to settle down and do pretty well. I think Carrick has done a wonderful job with the team. Yes, he's got a lot of young players, but he's still got some experience. He's got some old heads and some good players there as well. And I think it's the perfect balance to build a fight for the Premiership. And I think this team, particularly if they can hold on to people like Akpom, I think this team has a chance, if they get to the Premier League, of actually staying up, which will be really wonderful, be lovely.
And the omens are good, of course, Rob, because just as Sheffield United actually had two loanees from Pep Guardiola's masterclass with Tommy Doyle and James McAtee last season, there are two players from the Etihad world who've joined City last season, as opposed to just the one in Zach Steffen. Zach Steffen, obviously, no longer with the club, but you have got two newbies who've joined from City. So at least they've got that to base things on.
Yeah, and the players have, as I say, quite a lot of promise. We've also got, we've replaced the keeper with an experienced keeper from QPR, but we've also backed him up with two other goalkeepers, so from Australia and from Wigan. So there's a lot of experience there as well, for covering all bases at the goalkeeping. I think you mentioned Giles early on, and we haven't replaced Giles as a left back. That was obviously a shock in a way that he went to Luton rather than rejoined us. But we will have to. I think that's a place where it opens a possibility of Hayden Coulson, who went out on loan to Aberdeen last season, looked like he was surplus to requirements, but he was a real star in Jonathan Woodgate's team. Obviously, Jonathan Woodgate is coaching under Carrick. It'd be fantastic if he could actually establish himself at Borough and really make it second time around. I think we will play in a different way, though, because I don't think Hayden's going to be... He's not the kind of player that's going to rush forward and cross the ball, but he's going to... He runs at pace. And what we've seen in the past is an attacking fullback from, in a different sense, to a different sense to Giles, but somebody, as I say, goes inside. So we might see a different way, a different approach. We're bolstered by those City players. And
we like to help out. You know, we're very generous like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Rodgers has already scored at the Riverside, so that's that helps him, doesn't it? And helps settle everybody down. So yeah, pretty good.
Well, you know, I say these things happen, and I appreciate that much as though he might have been tempted, the likelihood of Riyad Mahrez and Ilkay Gundogan coming to Borough, it was never really going to happen, Rob. I mean, I know, obviously, City have had a huge turnaround since that halcyon day, which I certainly thought was extremely good back on June 10th. But there we are, exactly. Anyway, enough of such stuff. Dana Malt, of course, writing in the latest edition of Fly Me to the Moon, issue 637. Hayden is just golden. In a column which is always look on the bright side of Borough. She's very much taking the positive aspect in terms of the line. And speaking of course, of Dana, we have to welcome the official launch this season of Borough's Own Lionesses. Clearly, we have the Nigeria game certainly ahead. And I must admit, for those people who said, why didn't you have a Women's World Cup predictor challenge? I just don't know, is the short answer. We should have done. Maybe we can introduce something in terms of the quarterfinals and work through that. But certainly, so far, the augurs are good, given that obviously Brazil are out, Germany are out, and indeed America would have been out had it not been for a post. So there we are. It's just hitting the post and that sort of things there. Meanwhile, 6-1 against China, and then good wins against the twin spearheads of Denmark and Haiti have obviously maintained the joys of that. But yeah, so this is the first time, of course, and a lovely feature that you've actually put together, that Middlesbrough Women FC officially become part of Middlesbrough FC. And you spoke to Jess Dawson and Armani Maxwell. Interesting name, Armani Maxwell. It's like two brands put together in one like magical thing there, you know. If it was only Maxwell House, you would be a coffee genius. But still, Armani Maxwell, of course, you had a chance to speak to them at their new training HQ. They're very excited, aren't they, Rob?
Oh, extremely. And that was before 11 new players have been brought in since then. But yeah,
there was almost as many as Nottingham Forest have on an annual basis.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, it's a brilliant opportunity, and not just an opportunity for them, but for opportunities for all the young girls coming through. There's a kind of pathway there, because the ambition is for them all to become professional. At the moment, the manager and the general manager have got full-time jobs. The general manager, Ben Fisher, was the chairman last season. He did a lot to sort of secure the deal and get the club sort of very professionalised. But kids will be able to see at school now that, you know, that the boys would normally say that you know, what do you want to do when you leave school? I want to play for Borough. And now the girls can say the same thing. I want to play for Borough. But I think it'll inspire them all to be more fit, etc. In schools, it's just going to be really, really good for everybody. And I believe we know there's a provision for three games to be played at the Riverside, and it could possibly be even more than that. So it's going to be really exciting. And as you say, that the women's game is, with the Lionesses doing so well, it's really growing and it's really capturing everybody's imagination, isn't it? And it's let's hope they continue this progress. I thought straight away, when people were sort of saying, you know, oh, they can't score, they can't beat Haiti, and you think, well, it never works that way in big tournaments. Teams that
just takes one goal to win a game, and they prove that in both their matches, and then of course they thrashed China, and I'm sure Nigeria will also be an interesting challenge. But
will be.
I'm thinking, actually, Rob, and maybe Jenny could actually be an arbiter on this. Maybe we should actually grasp the proverbial positive by its proverbials and actually invite some of the Borough women players to join us on the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, and actually say categorically now that not only will we be looking at obviously the main club in terms of a club, the men's side of things, we'd be also covering that as well. I'm just putting it out there, you know, kind of on-air thought, really.
Good idea. We can approach them, definitely.
Yeah, Jenny, is that a good idea from your perspective, or do you say no, they should be kept completely separate? I think she was. There's a time delay, clearly, Rob, between Tipperary and Middlesbrough at this stage. But still, hopefully she's got it now. Are you back with us, Jenny?
I am. You keep fading out and then hiccuping and then disappeared twice completely. I'm here.
Oh.
Question again.
Good. So we were just saying, do you agree with our proposal that we should actually incorporate the Middlesbrough women's club and match, or Middlesbrough Women FC, into our Fly Me to the Moon coverage as well?
100%. Go for
it. It's been a sad time in some ways, because I don't know if you saw this, Rob, but I actually saw online from Middlesbrough Cathedral the funeral service for Gordon McQueen. I was surprised that actually it was held at Middlesbrough Cathedral, but it was quite fascinating to get the insight into obviously some of the speakers at the service such as Joe Jordan, and obviously his daughters, and their own sort of connections with the whole thing. Obviously, many folk would remember Gordon McQueen as being at the heart of Leeds central defence in the latter part of the Don Revie era, and of course the Jimmy Armfield era as well. But he'll always have a place, certainly with Brian Robson, in the start of what some might regard as very much the golden era, even beyond Wilf Mannion, of Brian Robson and the sort of playing staff, and indeed successors of Janino and others in the late 90s. So again, our thoughts go out to the side, another sad loss. Added to which, of course, you've done your own tributes, not only to Gordon McQueen, but also Trevor Francis. And I believe a very, very long-standing Middlesbrough fan as well has passed since we last had a Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, he passed at the end of last season, Nigel Gibb, but he passed away in a nursing home. And as a fantastic tribute to him, his friends, when they found out about it, including Gordon Cox from the football club, they put together a funeral for him. A remembrance funeral, and there was a wake at the football club, and it was a brilliant sort of tribute. Nigel was a phenomenal character. He was an accountant, so he knew all the stats, and he used to keep stats every single game. He had a book, and he used to write down the teams, and he used to write down facts about every game. And so he knew when he was going to his 1,000th away game. And the football club, Middlesbrough Football Club, got in touch with Leicester, where it was. And there were big posters on the wall sort of congratulating him on his 1,000th away game. He'll have done more than 1,000 home games at that point. And that was several years ago. So I wonder whether anybody will have been to as many Borough matches as him at that point. And his records, I believe... At the funeral, somebody had bought his house and had found all these books in the loft. So it'd be brilliant if it could be properly archived, and because handwritten records of years and years of football matches were absolutely unique. So he was a lovely guy, a top character, and it was great that his friends got together to put this funeral together for him.
Well, one of the other good reasons about having Jenny on board with us is currently she is based in Tipperary in Ireland. Of course, the home of the classic John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man, brings us to the title of the latest Jimmy Flynn piece of poetry, Football's Quiet Man. See what I did there? Linking Ireland, Tipperary, Quiet Man with the title. Michael Carrick, Football's Quiet Man is the title of Jimmy Flynn's latest offering in terms of an homage to the gaffer. Rob, would you like to start us off?
I'm just finding it. I was dreading this in a way, because I knew that I've got quite bad eyes now, Alex, and I was thinking, I'm thinking when I'm laying these things out, thinking, oh, how big can I make this typeface? And I thought as I was doing it, I thought, it's not big enough for my eyes, but I'll try.
We shall work through that. Anyway, yes. Over to you, Rob Nichols.
Michael Carrick, Football's Quiet Man. When Michael Carrick tied his colours to Borough's managerial mast, eyebrows were raised and questions asked.
A footballer of the highest international pedigree, but no experience of senior soccer management had he.
A quiet man not given to verbal tirades and rants, preferring calm persuasion, his ideas to decant.
He inherited a team adrift in a football storm, bereft of guidance, confidence and form.
With beleaguered Chris Wilder jettisoned through the exit door, Borough were floundering on the championship floor.
Tracksuit donned, he immediately headed to the training ground and set about turning ailing Borough's fortunes around.
What then seemingly effortlessly transpired was a previously lacklustre Borough became inspired.
A team totally lacking hope and desire rose like a phoenix from the fire.
Players who with a pass couldn't find a man were transformed into ball players with panache and elan.
On the field of play, Borough's fortune soared, and with ecstatic supporters, they once again scored.
The troubled waters swirling round the riverside were washed away with the ebbing tide.
The doubting Thomases were left confounded, while the wider football world was astounded.
A team rescued from relegation and turned around was in the homeward straight Premier League bound.
Then cruelly the football gods pulled the rug and bedeviled Borough fell foul of an injury bug.
Finishing the season as desperately unlucky also runs, revived by the magic of Carrick, football's quiet man.
Johnny, as ever, as you are the writer, any thoughts on Jimmy Flynn's latest offering for the new season 23-24?
I like that very much. It's factual, but it's emotional as well. And I think it just sums up how an awful lot of people felt. I'm so glad Carrick is staying. I think Borough have a fighting chance now. And it is lovely to have a manager who doesn't swear and spit and run up and down the touchline and wave his arms around a lot. It's the man has class and grace. I like that.
And you can, of course, find the full version. Well, actually, that was the full version. If you want to read it yourself, Jimmy Flynn's piece of poetry is actually on page 11 of the latest Fly Me to the Moon magazine. Details of how to get hold of that we will be revealing in the near future. Confessions of a Borough Fan on the same page, basically, page 10, 11, by Sean Rye, who I thought might have been joining us today, but perhaps he's otherwise engaged, as he says in his column here, as a fully paid-up member of the club for disturbingly over-invested football fans, I cannot deny my overzealous approach to every summer transfer window. The emotional peaks and troughs of following our beloved Borough last season mean Borough fans' state of serenity has only just begun to recalibrate. But there's plenty for us to be enthused about this time around. So, I mean, I think what Sean is clearly quite keen with respect to that. I mean, as he said, he's pleased with the type of signings Borough have made. They look eager to impress. And again, he's looking very much at the whole area. As we welcome good old Millwall, or he refers to them as Miwa. Oh, okay. To the Riverside, I look forward to the start of another swashbuckling season under the main man, Michael Carrick. Let's do something we often struggle to do and get an early win on match day one. I mean, we've managed the art of drawing. A lot of draws to start off with, including, I think, Jonathan Woodgate's first 3-all draw, which was an epic a few years ago on a Friday night. And obviously, we're not playing on Friday. We're on the strangely traditional Saturday slot of this kind of things. But actually getting those first 3 points, getting that lift of actually being in one of the pole positions is fairly critical, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, as several writers have said in this edition of the fanzine, we were playing catch up all last season. Obviously, we were a long way behind when Michael Carrick came in, but we've been playing catch up for the last couple of years. Obviously, we switched managers twice. And we haven't won the first game of the season since 2014. That's a long time, actually. And it does sort of check your confidence when you don't win that first game. Millwall, a very difficult opponents. They do in almost like in a Luton-esque fashion. They punch well above their weight, but considering the crowd size and everything else, sadly their chairman died in a car crash over the summer. So I think his son has taken over now. So they'll be hoping that it's a seamless transition from that point of view. But it definitely pays to make a good start. The difficulty being that it's the fact that the transfer window doesn't close, that it doesn't coincide with the start of the season. That is the problem for all championship teams, especially when they're reliant on the loan market as well from Premier League. Obviously, Premier League clubs need to know who they're going to be able to hold on to and who leaves before they can decide which of their promising players are allowed to go out on loan. So it means that the teams start the season with. There can be very different teams at the end of the month, and really that period they should coincide the window and the season starting, because it's like a phony war in a way, isn't it? It's a sort of false situation. Oh, and let's just say, Alex, get well soon to Sean, because Sean's has actually got COVID. He emailed me yesterday, so he wasn't feeling very well, and he tested positive, so. sadly, he's down with COVID. That you don't hear much about COVID anymore, but poor Sean's got it.
Well, certainly get well, Sean. We miss you on Blimey to the Moon. Hopefully you'll be back very shortly. And I trust we might have poked you up slightly with the stuff so far. Or maybe not. I don't know. What the heck? Let's move on to another little consideration, which for me, probably with the promotion of Ipswich Town and Sheffield Wednesday, with the relegation of Southampton, Leeds United, and, of course, Leicester City. And Leicester City have also got a City connection, Manchester City connection, because a former assistant coach of Pep Guardiola is now in charge of Leicester City. And we know from experience how, again, looking at the Burnley experience with Vincent Kompany, looking arguably at Arsenal, why you'd want to, I don't know. But with Mikel Arteta clearly in charge there. I wouldn't necessarily rule out. I know there was a suggestion by one correspondent in the Fly Me to the Moon thing that, well, Leicester might go the way, same way as Stoke City. I'm not sure that they will necessarily do that, even though they're changing their playing staff, etc. It looks arguably to be a far tougher championship than last season. Because I haven't even talked about the clubs that, like Borough, were unsuccessful in the playoffs. There's that club up the road somewhere in the A19. I think it begins with an S and it's run by Tony Mowbray. Coventry may still be there or thereabouts in the mix and so on. So it's a cliche, but even Neil Warnock's Huddersfield will probably be no pushovers in the early weeks of the season.
No, I think it is much tougher going into the if you scroll back to last season, I think we had the conversation saying, well, for once the three teams that are coming down don't look well set. Obviously, Burnley absolutely ran away with it. But at that time we were wondering whether their loans would be called in, that as a club they would be in desperate situation. So there was a big question mark about them, and we were right. It was an opportunity last season, but the three clubs coming down looking to have not just the advantage of the parachute window, but also they've got a lot going for them. And as you say, that Manchester City connection seems to churn out these new managers that hit the ground running. We'll see, but it does look like a really challenging division, and we'll see how we can stand up to the other teams, really. But as you say as well, Ipswich coming up, I'm not sure about Sheffield Wednesday, because I can't believe that they've sacked the manager. It just, you know, not sure.
And indeed, I think they've taken on board the former Barnsley manager as well to look after their packages. So Ian Barnsley, who might be joining us because he supports Barnsley. I don't know why, but I'm sure we'll work to that basis. But he's our legal expert, certainly at the University of Lincoln, for the journalism degree. Again, I think he was interested in terms of that. Jenny, Leeds United, I mean, they look as though they mean business again. I mean, their owner has moved on, but they've certainly got a lot of investment from their new American owners. They're looking quite serious. We haven't even mentioned Norwich, of course, and Ipswich Town might possibly fancy their chances at having a run, much as Coventry City did this season. Any thoughts for yourself on the competitiveness of the division?
I think you're right. It is a lot more competitive this year. When I saw the three teams that came down, I thought, oh, right, another year we'll be waiting. On the other hand, you have got that psychological knock from being relegated and all the stress that's involved in fighting desperately. Plus, they will have leaked some players. And I think if Borough can hit the ground running, they can establish themselves as a big team that people have got to take seriously, and people actually play differently against them. And I think that's their best chance. If they miss their first few games and they start to look a bit flaky, I think they're going to be not dead in the water, but they're definitely going to struggle, because it is a very tough, the championship is a dogfight anyway, and it's a very tough championship this year.
Speaking of dogfights, that might well have been part of the political satire that Graham Bandera might have used when he was actually a political cartoonist for the Yorkshire Post. Finally, a two-page spread plus for a brand spanking new illustrator and indeed creator of a truly stunning Essen Park calendar. You can actually see the place where I probably even queued up for my first ever autograph from Jack Charlton, Stuart Bohm and others. Actually outside the Warwick Street base, and of course the joys of David Mills, etc. Plus, of course, the inside stands and the whole range of things. share with us, Rob, Graham Bandera. As you say, it's been amazing you haven't featured him before, but why have you featured him now?
Yeah, he's an award-winning illustrator for the Yorkshire Post. There's very few sort of provincial papers that actually have a cartoonist. And he was
there are very few provincial papers these days, Rob. But that's by the by.
That's very very true indeed. And Graham's, I really take my hat off to people that can put their finger on the pulse every sort of day of the week, and get it right. Somebody that has their own style that you immediately know whatever they do in life, you immediately know that that's Graham Bandera. And I always think that's phenomenal. But when I saw his Essen Park calendar, obviously I live at Essen Park, so. But when I saw it this summer, I just thought, "Oh, that is amazing!" And then I got one. He sent me it, and then I thought, oh, "I've got to ask him some questions." I can't believe it. I've known him for absolutely years and years. He goes to all the matches. He's absolute burrow nut. And of course, I've got the chance to. He sent me some pictures of when he was the mascot, when he was a tiny little mascot standing next to Heine Otto, who was his hero. Heine Otto was the classic. Right player, wrong time, because he was a tremendous player, but he came just after, as the great Charlton and Neil team were being dismantled. But yeah, great to speak to him and hear about his time at Borough, but also about what makes him tick as an illustrator and how he was inspired and who he was inspired by and things like that.
Well, it's brought us neatly around to those predictions. Jenny, Middlesbrough versus Millwall. First up, what is your prediction for the scoreline?
I'd love to see 2-0, but I'll settle for 1-0 to Borough.
I think I might go 2-1. Rob?
Well, if you think about last season, the new 2-1 was 3-1, wasn't it? Let's start off with a 3-1. There's going to be over 30,000 there tomorrow, Alex. It's likely to book it down as well, isn't it? But let's hope everybody. Let's hope
it's the start of the football season and the traditional time of the beginning of August, as it always used to be.
I know exactly. But let's hope it lights up the place for the fact that the football and that we get those goals and that we're all sort of singing the praises of Borough again.
And let's talk about the first match in the EFL Cup, the first round North, Neil Warnock's Huddersfield Town against Middlesbrough on Tuesday, the 8th of August, Jenny.
That's your 3-1 to the Borough, definitely.
I mean, the challenge, of course, is if they beat Huddersfield 3-1, then will they also repeat that scoreline the following a week on Saturday on the 19th of August when they're at home to Huddersfield Town?
I hope so.
Oh yes, absolutely, no doubt about it.
You could say that it was the Warnock's Huddersfield that really knocked us off course in the way in the end of last season. The game there. So we owe them, don't we? We owe them some.
Teach them a lesson. Teach them a lesson.
Sandwiched in between that, of course, on the traditional 12:30 Saturday kickoff. Well, it helps the television audiences, I suppose. Coventry City away, which Mark Robbins, I'm sure, will actually be savouring in a whole range of other bits and pieces. As indeed,
Coventry
Mara,
again. Just for a change, Coventry.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that the Huddersfield tickets have flown out, they've sold out, and hopefully the same with Coventry, because Coventry, bizarrely, hadn't priced up their tickets until yesterday. They've only had all summer to do it, so the tickets have only just gone out on sale now for the home and the away fans.
Very laid back in the West Midlands, chill, as Jenny will tell you, basically, in terms of her Birmingham experience, chill in the West Midlands, it's like the California of Britain. Maybe not. Okay, so still so much packed into. We haven't had a chance to actually go through in this particular edition of the official podcast for Fly Me to the Moon. That's issue 637 versus Millwall. But how can people actually purchase for £1.50, even in the cost of living crisis? Very much a steal. Yeah. How can they get hold of the copy and indeed subscribe through the season?
Oh, yes, please do. If you go to the website fmtgmborough.com and click on fanzine shop, or look anywhere, there's like subscription thread as well on the main message board. Click on those things, I've got a Facebook page. It's on there. I've got a Twitter page. I've got two Twitter pages, and they've both got FMTTM in the title, I think. And there's links on there as well. And then look out for me. I'll be the guy that's drenched under the bridge in front of the riverside tomorrow. Look out and please have a £1.50 ready. That would be great. We're not going digital tomorrow, Alex. The football club is starting to go digital, but the fanzine is still old money.
And have you actually had a chance to speak to Michael Carrick himself about the season so far? Has he given his press conference? Is all looking good? Is he quietly confident?
I've not spoken to him myself. I was still finishing the fanzine and everything, but he seemed. I've watched the video back, and he wasn't giving anything away about new players and everything, but he was up for the challenge. And obviously, I did go to the women's press conference because so now we have two press conferences to go to.
Exactly. It's all there. Yeah. And if you're looking to book some time as well, special mention for Kadeem Hussain, who's actually got going for a career social and culinary history of Middlesbrough that he's actually going to be talking about. And you can actually book this for indeed Saturday, the 12th of August, between 12 and 1:30 p.m. at the Navigator North at the Masham, 27 Linthorpe Road, Middlesbrough. So there we are. Some like it hot. The story of curry powder, a talk and demonstration by local author Kadeem Hussain. You've been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Rob, would you like to lead us in? I think we need to keep this. I know we've talked about revamping various other bits and pieces, but suddenly those seven words, what seems to be turning out to be seven seasons, perhaps not, in the championship needs to be said. So Rob, after you, please.
One, two, three. Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Not the Borough.
Up the Borough.